The rabbi has a chasana tonight, so I am filling in. There's no one yet on Zoom. What time is this scheduled for? 10:15? Give another minute or so, see if anybody joins. It'll likely be shorter than the usual rabbi share. Okay, let's start. So we're going to start with an Or HaChaim on Perek Aleph, Pasukim Vav and Zayin. So the Pasuk Vav tells us, Vayomas Yosef b'chol echav b'chol ador hu. So three pieces of information, one of which we already know, two of which don't seem to be, I mean, they're important, but the story could have continued without telling us that the brothers died and the whole generation died. And we already know that Yosef died. And then so the Arachaim is going to pose a couple of questions and have a what I think is a fascinating mahalach in these two psukim. So he begins. Why is it that we already know? If you remember from the very end of last week's parasha, it wasn't that long ago. At the end of the last week's parsha, so we already know that Yosef died. Why does the pasuk feel it necessary to repeat itself? Furthermore, like we said, what are these two extra pieces of information that all the brothers died and that entire generation died out? What's the relevance? And further, he wants to know is what's the connection between the fact that they died, and that Bnei Israel then had a population boom. He throws in a comment here. So there's this famous idea that the Rav Yosef Karo had this angel that fed him or learned with him and told him certain secrets, certain Kabbalistic type of teachings, and Or HaChaim is alluding to, if you know that stuff, go look it up there. But he says that's b'derech sod, but we still need to understand on pshat what the smichus of the psukim is. And then he throws in a fourth question: Otzirich ladas tam omro b'seder zeh uvnei Yisrael v'gomer. So now we're going to get into a little bit of Torah grammar, where, as we know, generally when the pasuk is conveying information, it normally puts, and not to get technical with the grammar terms, but the predicate is usually placed at the beginning, and the subject, meaning the thing about which the pasuk is talking, is placed later. So, for example, in pasuk vav, it doesn't say u Yosef meis, it says vayomas Mosef, vayidaber Hashem. It's always the action or the thing that's happening, and then the person or the thing about whom the action is happening. But in Pasuk Zion, it puts Bnei Yisrael first. That's Shimba Lo Din or Priyas Rivas Bnei Yisrael, that if all the Pasuk was trying to tell us, Hayelo Lo Merkes Seder Zeh, it should have used what we would normally expect the Pasuk to say, and that would be Vayifritzu, Vayishritzu, etc. Bnei Yisrael. Why does it put Bnei Yisrael at the beginning? So with those questions, he proceeds to go ahead and provide the following mahalach. Achen Shnei Ksuvim Van Ka'achas Lohodia Hishtalshalus Haschalas Hashibat B'Sibosa. So he says, the Or HaChaim says that based on the way these psukim are crafted, it's coming to tell us how the shibud came to be. And he says that each of these things was a cause to the shibud. Number one, Mises Yosef Echad, Yosef dying was the first. Shimhai Yosef Kayim, Yaspik Shlo Yimshlu Behem Amitri. If Yosef had been alive, then his presence alone would have been sufficient to ensure that the Mitzrim would not be oppressing the Jews. The whole time that Yosef was alive, B'nai Yisrael were comfortable and peaceful living in Mitzrayim. So that's step one. Sheni, Mises Achim, Shekol Zman She'echem in Achim Kayom, Hayu Mitzrayim Mechabdin Oson. Moshe Perish Rashi, in the Pasuk by Yoshev Yosef, Hu Be'echov, Achrei Kober Wasoviv. Right, and see there, Yuyin Cham, that the Mitzrayim held the brothers in high esteem. They realized that they were of a different stock, and that the whole time that the brothers were alive, similarly, the Mitzrayim would not have gone ahead and enslaved the Jews. Shlishi Mises Kol Ador, Perush Kol Hashivin Nefesh. Right, the entire 70 that are listed as coming down. Shekulan Hayu Hashuvin Be'enehim. Again, maybe not as in high esteem as the brothers, and certainly not as in high esteem as Yosef, but all 70 that came down to Mitzrayim, all 70 that came down to Mitzrayim had some level of aura, I would call it, that the Mitzrayim respected. And if the whole time that any of those 70 were still alive, they would not have been able to enslave them. Oh, let's Hayu B'nai Deo, or that the 70 were of a supreme intelligence, that even if the Mitzrayim would have tried to entice them to become, and what happens later on, they would have been too smart for it. Right? All those 70 would have been on to the plan that the Egyptians put into place to slowly enslave them. So it wouldn't have worked. So that's number three. And then fourth, Revi Uvnei Yisrael. He imlo haisahar gashah hagadola. Good evening, Rabbi Pearl. We're in the middle of the Or HaChaim on Pasuk Zion.
Okay, thank you.
Revi, he's going through the smichus of Pesukim Vav and Zion, and he asked a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. And he's explaining that each of the things that are mentioned in Pesukim Vav and Zion is a link in the chain that led to the spiraling downfall that led to the enslavement of the Jews. Revi uvnei Yisrael, then he quotes the pasuk: Kim lo haisahar gash hagdola shaporu vayitritzu b'mova timaleya aretz lo hayu nosim leiv lemakesh tachula. So had it not been that the Mitzrayim sensed this overwhelming explosion of the population, then they would not, they would not have thought about looking for a strategy by which to crush the Jews, meaning that it was the fact that B'nai Yisrael just took over in numbers, that's what led to the Mitzrayim to come up with this thought process to try and enslave the Jews. Elo ha-hergesh ha-gadol hu ha-sovet. Right, it was the Egyptians' strong feelings about the Jewish population growing by the exponential numbers that it was that causes them to feel the need to enslave them. And it only was able to happen because of the first three things that happened, i.e. that Yosef died, the brothers died, and the entire generation. So now he continues and says, "V'zenis yashiv omru v'nei Yisrael." So that explains why this fourth question is answered, that why it leads with Uvnei Yisrael instead of Vayifritzu, Vayishritzu. Why? The point of this pasuk is not to tell us that B'nai Yisrael's population numbers expanded exponentially. That's not the purpose of the pasuk. What is the purpose of the pasuk? Elodia ki hu zes sovev hagolus. Rather, it's to tell us that the population explosion was the direct cause of the Mitzrayim turning and seeking to enslave the Jews. Meaning, if not for that happening, the Shibud wouldn't have happened. Therefore, since we're introducing the Shibud, the Pasuk is written in such a way to convey that piece of information, that it's specifically the explosion of the numbers that caused the Mitzrayim to turn and to go ahead and seek to subjugate the Jews. The next paragraph, he goes there and explains how that fits into Vayakum El Chadash and the two pshatim that we know in Rashi. Vayakum El Chadash, Vizulas Achas, Mikol Dvarim, Hasidurim, Lo Yoshibud. Meaning, It's only because Vayomas Yosef, V'chol Echa, V'chol Hador Hu, Anu, V'nei Yisrael, Paru V'Yitritzu, all four of those factors were necessary in order for the Vayakum El Chadash to go ahead and then be able to put in the policy of enslavement. L'manda Amar Chadash and Yischachuk Zerosav, and even if you go with the explanation that it wasn't a new king, but rather the same king who changed his degrees, again, it's the same idea. Hasibos HaKodmos, Heim Sabu L'chadesh Daito Mishuna Mikodem V'Havi. It was the four factors that we discussed that allowed this king to change his thought process about the Jews and begin the policy of enslavement. But now he's going to point out a problem with his explanation, which is going to lead into what I think is the aha moment, which is really an interesting shot. V'hinei lifi pshoton shel dvarim yagid. He called Ot shehoya echad meyador hukayim hayom menei Yoshiba. And so according to what the Aruch Chaim is saying is that as long as any of the 70 was still alive, that prevented the Shibud from starting. The Kasha, and if that's the case, then the following difficulty arises. In Cain, lo haya lo lomar hakasav ela vayomas kol ador hu. It could have skipped vayomas Yosef. It could have skipped vayomas kol echav. And it could have just said vayomas kol ador hu, which would have conveyed that was the necessary second to last straw, the final straw being the population explosion, but you don't need the build up to that step. Shafil koyo me echad me ador lo haya shiba. Lo haya tzarech lomar lo misas. Yosef lo misas echav dechal v'chomeru. Shelo hagi yashiba b'imem. Again, if the whole point is just to explain that the shiba's happening, we don't need that Yosef died and the brothers died, because we would know kal v'chomer that if the entire genetry died out, then of course Yosef and the brothers must have died out also. Well, feel the very sure Amr call you Mesha Echad Mishratim Kaim Lo Haya Shibud. Even according to that you want to say that the Shibud didn't start only while the 12 brothers were alive, but then after the 12 brothers the Shibud might potentially have started. Still, you have a difficulty. It was so based on this question that he had on his original explanation, he now comes up with this steps towards the Shibud. At each of the four steps that we described was a step from where Bnei Israel were at the beginning until ultimately they ended up in the Shibud. And he explains as follows: Ulai ki yachavin akas of lomar. There were, like we said, there were steps to get from point A, where they were when Yosef was alive, to point Z, where they were Meshubat. Kibimisas Yosef Yardu Migdulosa. Right? The whole time that Yosef was alive, Shahayu Mu'um Yosef Mimitriim Vinasu Shavim Lehem. Right? The whole time that Yosef was alive, the Bnei Yisrael were a royal class. Yosef being the Mishnah Melech, and his entire family being on a level that was higher than the rank and file of Mitzri. And when Yosef died, then they no longer looked at them as superior to the Jews, superior to the Mitzrim. They were knocked down a peg to be the Mitzrim's equal. So that was step one, to go from royalty to equal. And step two was, okay, they were equal the whole time that the brothers were alive. When the brothers died, they dropped down a level to be lower than the Mitzrayim, but still not a class that was destined to be enslaved. Nivzim, they were what's nivzim? Contemptible, it says here, mm-hmm. Meaning that they felt bad about them. But they weren't yet ready to enslave them. But when everyone from that generation died, that was the tipping point that began the Shibud. Why? It seems like it was like, I think the way the Aruch Chaim is explaining it, it was almost like a simultaneous changing events. That once the last of that generation died out, the population explosion had already begun, and those two factors happening simultaneously practically is what led to the ability to the Mitzrayim. Now they had such a negative feeling about it. Now all the people who they had such high respect for were gone. That's how they were able to go ahead and implement the policy of Sheba. Oh, so that question was asked in the share that I heard this. Neither did Sarah, according to the Medrash, right? Sarah was also one of the 70. Right. And Medrash says that she lived many, many, many years after the... Right. They right. So I'm not sure about Ephraim Menashe either. Could be that Ephraim, when it refers to Cholador, who maybe Ephraim Menashe is included in that. Yeah. So the answer for Yocheved was that maybe she's a little different because she was part 70, part not of the 70. Right? She was no Lad Bein HaChomos, as the Medrash describes. So maybe she didn't have the same, I don't know. So the question was asked to Rabbi Ram, who I listened to for inspiration for this year. But Sarah, I don't have an answer for. She went down early, meaning... I'm not familiar with that. I'm not familiar with the Sarah matter, Sarah concept. I mean, Sarah went down early. I thought that was when they came back. Yeah, when they came back to say Yosef was still alive. Sarah played on her kinnor. Yosef is alive. That's a song that I remember from my youth. In any event, okay. So that's the Or HaChaim. Yes, Rabbi
Rafael. Josh, it occurs to me, this Kasha, and this he makes it a Kasha about, well, first the brothers died, and then Kol Hadar Ahu died, right?
Yeah.
Levi died. He was 137 years old.
Right. He was the last of the Shvatim to die,
he
right?
He might have been the last of the 70 also at that age.
He might have been. Certainly possible. I mean, especially if you go with the idea that they all gave birth very early. So even the great-grandchildren were counted in the 70. Might not have been that much. Yeah, that's certainly possible. I assume he takes it for granted that, right, Vnei Chetzron, who were part of the 70, outlived Levi. I imagine that's his working assumption.
Wait, let's figure it out. Levi lived in Mitzrayim 94 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Levi lived in, that's 100, right? 210 minus 116. It's 94.
Right.
So 94 years, you know, if no one else lived more than 94 years, which is entirely possible, that he was a big Ma'arich Yamim, he might have been the last one.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, he can't be. Because Kahas was one, and Kahas was one of this, and was one of the ones who came also, and he lived 133. So that doesn't work.
There you go. You answered your own question. Okay,
there
good.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. He goes through the next piece. Maybe he's talking about the next piece. I didn't see the next piece inside. He said the next piece here is talking about that the Sheba began not after the entire generation died, but after the 12 Shvatim. Let's see it inside. We'll figure it out together. Bim Tomar, Lo Rezal Lo Omru Ela Kozman She'echel Min HaShvatim Uldvareinu Afil Min HaShivim. Right? So the Or HaChaim is asking on himself, I'm going against Chazal, which I think we've seen in the past that Or HaChaim has no problem taking on a Medrash of Chazal if he feels that his Pshat is going to be correct. But I think he wants to resolve for his in his favor anyway. And he says that it's not certain that that's the case. That's what you just said, right? Ain't Shibud Yasir Love. And the yeshiva definitely was not longer than that. But it wasn't less than the 86 years that from Miriam's birth till they left Mitzrayim, because she was called Miriam al Shem Hamoror. So definitely the yeshiva had begun. So there's a 30-year window. Meaning, even within the Seder Olam, which says that it, even within the position of Chazal, which is based on the last of the Shvatim, it's not so clear, because it certainly could be 30 years after. Okay.
Now, actually, according to what he's saying here, it comes out very nicely. Because if you follow, so the first Yerida was when Yosef died. The second was when all his brothers died. The third was when the whole generation died. And then when Miriam was born, it got worse.
Right.
So you have four, which is Kenega, the Arba Lashonos Geula.
That's a good point. He doesn't make that connection, but it certainly fits. I like that. Okay, let's just do one quick Yoker, which I found very, very interesting as well, so that we don't be favorites between the Yoker and Or HaChaim. So the Yoker is in Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Elamo, Paro says, Hine am b'nei Yisrael rav v'yatzu mimenu. Rav v'yatzu mimenu, they are mightier and greater number and mightier mimenu. Mimenu is translated as from us, meaning from the greater number and stronger than the Mitzri. We'll pick up the Kli Yoker in the middle. The paragraph begins Ulufi. So the Kli Yoker says, Ulufi Sherezal Darshu Hava Nischak Malo Lamoshion Shel Yisrael. Right? We darshan Hava Nischak Malo to mean not to the Jews, but to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nir Lefarish Shegam Tevas Mimenu Kai Ala Kadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Kli Yoker, in an interesting twist, we know the word mimenu can mean from them, or from us, or from him, right? And he quotes the pasuk by the Meraglim. Kedek shadarshu pasuk ki chazak hu mimenu, right? When the Meraglim say that we can't go up and conquer Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says ki chazak hu mimenu, which literally means that the nations in Canaan are stronger than us, but it's darshaned in the Gemara over there, Masech HaSota, to say they were saying Mimenu from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning that Kaviyachal Afil Balabais in Yachal Lahotzi Kalev Misham. Right? That the Meraglim is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not be able to overtake the nations in Bnei Yisrael. That's what the word Mimenu there means. So says the Kli Yoker, and you could say that that's what the word mimenu here means. So kein vatzu mimenu, right? Musa v'kadosh baruch hu, v'nun shel mimenu becholam, right? Which I think is not, right? That would be what, mimenu, not mimenu. Not sure, is cholam referring to a, which obviously is not how we pronounce it. But here's his explanation. V'ratzalom shekol chasko shel Yisrael, nimshach lo mimenu, right? The entire strength that the Jews have is drawn from mimenu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yatzum, mimenu meaning from him, meaning their strength and their numbers comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hainu mimakor Yisrael. Lefikach, and therefore, what does Paro say? Hava nischak malo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lemekorim da Hainu lemoshiach. And so it's an interesting twist on how to read the word mimenu, that it means from him, meaning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Bnei Yisrael's strength comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He continues, and he says something different, but it's more of the same, and it continues very interesting ways. So let's just see it. Oh, Yomer ba'atzumi menu mamish, meaning kehem atzumi mimenu yisbarach, meaning he's still going with the explanation that mimenu is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but now he's saying not that we draw our strength from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather we are in fact stronger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How? Kira amru razal amru HaKadosh Baruch Hu ani moshel b'chol u'mimoshel bi hatzadik. Right? There's a Gemara that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is gozer, and Tzadik is able to undo the gzera or change the gzera. Shenemar, based on Pasuk and Shmuel Beis, Tzadik
goshel yirah. Tzadik gozer Kadosh Baruch Hu mekayim.
Right.
Not to undo, but whatever the Tzadik decrees is what Hashem does.
Right. Look at the next line in the Kli Yoker. Shani gozer, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shani gozer gzera, v'atzadik mevatlo. right? That tzaddik has the power through his kovach hatfil, through whatever it is, to uproot and change a gzera that a kodesh baruch hu was gozer. So Par was saying that the Jews are stronger kiviyachol than a kodesh baruch hu. So here he's again, he's going back not exactly to what he was saying in the previous paragraph, but he's saying the same idea that it's clear that the entire strength of the Jews comes from their connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu's mitzvos and Torah. So therefore, Paro's plan is to break up the connection between the Jews and Klal Yisrael. If we're able to make it that the Jews are doing evil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, that will take away their strength. Moshe Parshim Mefarshim, based on the Pasuk, and this is from Haggadah, we remember this. Vayarei Osanu, means that the Egyptians made us bad. Right, the Pasuk should have said that the Egyptians were bad to us. But what does it say? Vayirei osanu, they made us bad. Elonakar osanu lomar, shemitzriim asu osanu roi mechatayim l'ashem v'aldei zeh v'ayanunu. Right, the affliction that was caused to us was not so much what the Egyptians physically did to us, but is that they made us bad, do chatayim in Isaac Kodesh Baruch. The Kliyaku continues, v'nei divrei mefarshim emes, shahay Yisrael b'mitzrayim roi mechatayim, k'mo shenemar b'yicheskel, he puts the pasuk in Yicheskel. And we know the Medrash that at Kriyas Yamsuf, Halal of Dei Ozara, Halal of Dei Ozara. But there's no remez to the Pasuk in the Torah to that. So says the Kliyaka, yes, there is. That's this Pasuk. Al-Kain near the Farish Pasuk Zeh, Ha-Omer, Ha-Ven Nishak Malo, Ha-Inu B'nei Chleim, Asher Niklu Lachem, right? That's a Pasuk where by Midian, by Balpor. La-Hachtiyam, the point being is that the Mitzrim were able to get the Jews to sit. And here's where I really like what he says here. Vayasimo lav serem misim, right? When it says that the Mitzrim placed that misim is tax, what does it mean that they placed tax collectors on them? Lahalos mas, for what purpose? Not for road building purposes or for other civil projects, but rather lekomrei avodah zarah, that the tax that was collected went directly to the avodah zarah. He said domek ilu avdu avodah zarah mamash. And by paying the tax that went directly to the avodah zarah, it's as if Bnei Israel, in fact, were over the avodah zarah, like Rashi quotes elsewhere. Lekach nemar leman anosol b'siv losam, and that's the words anosol b'siv losam is domim mamash l'mashemar v'ayirei osanim zim v'ayanunu. He's connecting the anosol over here with the v'ayanunu over there. That the v'ayirei osanu that caused the Vayanunu is that they made us beg. Shaidesha Asu Osanu Rayim Khatoim Matsu Makum the Vayanunu ki az yahulan. Right? It's because they were able to get us to turn bad, is how they found a way in to be Vayanunu. Kach Amar Khan by Simulov Sri Misim Litain Masla Voto Zar Lebanon or so, Kinim Shah Mizesha Yuhul and Osam Basiba Sama Idesha Sartila me alayim kisha yesum ya fari Hashem. Let's do one more paragraph. Vulai al Shazah Namru Vaidu Mitzrayim is Bray Sil Bafara. So says the Kliyaka, and that's probably what shot in the pasuk, the next pasuk is of by Yavidim Mitzrayim before, because that entire pasuk is seemingly unnecessary. So says the Kliyaka, that could be that's what's being hinted in this pasuk. Meaning what? That if through convincing and sweet talking, that they convinced Bnei Israel to not mamish be oved avodah zarah, but just to contribute. Be'achar kach beferach la'avodah mamish, and then subsequently, once they were drawn in, then they got drawn in to do the actual avodah zarah. Al yidei hefrach lefikach vayimaruz chayem, and that's the hemshach of vayimaruz chayem. Ki itzel kadosh baruch hu ne'amar ki hu ichayecha vayidei shem soru me'achrei Hashem. Right, so that's what he's saying. That if you look at the pasuk, "Vayimaru eschayehem," he says that "Vayimaru eschayehem b'avoda kasha" is not colon. What does it mean "b'avoda kasha"? B'chom ruvinu b'chol avoda basada. It's first "Vayimaru eschayehem b'avoda kasha." That's avoda kasha is avoda zara. That the Mitzrayim were able to get the Jews to go ahead and be over the avoda zara. And then once they were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they were able to then transition, the Mitzrayim were able to transition and force the slavery on them. And that's how the Chom and Levinim, the Chol Avodah Basadah happened. But it was only because of Vayimaros Vayim Avodah Kasha that they were able to get them to do the Avodah Zarah through the Vayividu Mitzrayim as Bnei Yisrael before, through the enticement of getting them first to buy the Spayisim Olav Seremisim. So he builds it up that each pasuk is leading up to how it was able to get to the Avodah Kasha, that it didn't just happen overnight. It was first they Paro had to put in this way to break Bnei Yisrael from its connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and only after that happened, it slowly descended into the Shibut that eventually happened. That is all I have to say about that.
Shikach. Very nice.
Shikach.
All right. Back to a regular schedule next week, I hope.
All right.